I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Jennifer Reed, and this is my husband, Charlie Reed.
Good afternoon.
And we are standing in for Kathleen McCarthy. So today is the memorial of the Holy Guardian Angels.
That's wonderful. That's right.
And yep. Mary and I talked about that on Tuesday. So Charlie and I today, we're going to talk about prayer, our Blessed Mother, the Rosary, and the importance of prayer in your life. So before we begin, do you want to just start with a prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. How about we say a Hail Mary?
Wonderful. Couldn't do better.
Okay. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Holy Spirit, amen.
All right. So prayer is a big topic. How would you define prayer?
Well, you don't have to rely on me. I did bring my handy pocket Catholic dictionary because the definition they provide is beautiful, and it's better than anything I can come up with. And it's really, you know, it's more comprehensive and broader than, you know, just, oh, it's our Father. There's vocal prayer. There's adoration. There's meditation, contemplation. Mm-hmm. The Pocket Catholic Dictionary, I don't know who produced, well, it's produced, defines prayer as the voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence. I think it's a beautiful.
I like the word voluntary response.
Yeah. Yeah. It encompasses even when we say our normal prayers, you say grace before a meal, mm-hmm. or you're getting together, say the rosary in the morning, or mm-hmm. whatever it is you do, or you see an ambulance and you say Hail Mary.
Right.
It's a response to the awareness of God's presence. You may not even be consciously thinking about God's presence, but on a certain spiritual level, you're aware mm-hmm. of that presence.
It's bringing you to the awareness, but I like it that it's voluntary because you are bringing yourself to it without any. You're there on your own will, your own accord.
Yeah, I mean you're responding to the Holy Spirit, but it mm-hmm. is an act of your will.
Right.
I guess, cooperation with the movement of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just, you know, I'm sure most of all the listeners are aware of the different examples, but I'll just go through the rest of this. So the response may be an acknowledgement of God's greatness and of a person's total dependence on him, which is adoration, mm-hmm. Or gratitude for his benefits to oneself and others. That's thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Or sorrow for sins committed and begging for mercy, which is expiation. Or asking for grace as needed, petition, mm-hmm. or affection for God, who is all good, love.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think we go through phases and stages of that every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, night, especially if you're doing your examination of conscience at night. You kind of run down that whole list.
You know, and actually, I mean, what's left out of there, which may be a voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence that maybe we do too often, which is kind of, you know, being angry at God, expressing anger with God, which,
you know,
there are different schools of thought on whether that's okay. But, I mean, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think usually it's accompanied by, well, I know
it's not you.
It's not God's, right, it's me, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you're angry at the situation, and then you're angry at yourself, and sometimes it takes you a minute just to, like...
Yeah, maybe that's an indirect way to asking for grace.
Mm-hmm.
We'd probably be better off if we actually asked for grace.
Right, right. But in the moment, and you, once you get your emotions back into check,
yeah,
then you can come back and do that. Yeah. So prayer is really a beautiful thing, and it's a habit to get into a prayer life. I think you and I've worked really hard over the years at praying together. We mm-hmm. we do a rosary every morning. And it took a determination to say, we're going to, no matter what, we're going to get up at this time and we're going to do this to start our day. And we're trying to build the habit of doing the night prayer, the nighttime prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then your day is usually so busy. Sometimes it's hard to fit it in.
Yeah. Well, and fit it in maybe is a it's real. It's real. That's right. The way we look at it. But the phrasing is often, you know, it kind of indicates how we think of it, and that's maybe not the way
I
want to think of it.
We shouldn't think of it as fitting in. You're absolutely right. Of being more. I mean, I have, you know, prayers at my desk taped up so that I'll remember to say them
right
throughout the day.
Right.
You know, the Angelus is there so that at noon, I'll remember to say it.
Yeah, well, we have all kinds of reminders. It's so I was at my men's group this morning, and I've mentioned it, the name of it on here before, but it's called That Man Is You. So it's a men's, for the benefit of those who aren't familiar with it, a men's spirituality and leadership group, produced or created by a group called Paradisus Day. They have a bunch of other initiatives and group programs mm-hmm. that we're part of as well. But one, you know, I was at that this morning, and one of the, you know, it's men around a table discussing. You watch a video and you mm-hmm. talk about it. This is similar. It made me think of this when he said, you know, you sometimes you go to a funeral,
mm-hmm.
and there's you know, information about the deceased, maybe on a board or a montage on a video or something like that. And it, of course, it'll have the name and it'll have a date, and in between there's a dash. In the dash is represents the important part, right? It's just a little dash, but that's the important part. And our days can be the same way.
Yeah.
Our
days have little mini dashes.
Mini dashes throughout. And listen, I get, you know, we get up early. You and I do. And mm-hmm. I get up and the day starts great. I have a cup of coffee. It's all quiet. I'm all by myself. Maybe do, you know, start the daily office with the morning prayer or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit of silent, you know, reflection before we get together to say the rosary. You know, then we're at daily mass,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe some other, you know, written prayers. And at the end of the day, as you're saying, we have, you know, we've gotten fond of YouTube has Father Matlack does night prayer.
Right. It's nice to be able to just quietly, he's doing all the talking.
He does a little bit brief, and he runs you through a little examination of conscience and mm-hmm. then our Father. And it's a nice way to finish it. Maybe sometimes, you know, if we're not just crazy rushed, maybe I'll read the readings for the next day.
If I'm not asleep.
Or you do night prayer. Yeah.
I'm usually asleep. His voice usually lulls me off quite nicely.
Yeah. Well, that's a side effect. But
yes.
The rest of the day is all dashes. And you realize you get to the end of the day and you're like, it's not really where was God. It was where was I when God was all around me, you know, maybe trying to get my attention. Mm-hmm. Listen, you don't want to create laundry lists and to-do lists.
Right.
Little reminders,
mm-hmm.
and I say this, you know, people have their different things that they can use to remind themselves of. Hey, I just want to, you know, say this prayer at this time. I have,
mm-hmm.
opposed, like your mom said, you know, just say Hail Mary for me when you brush your teeth.
Right.
So I have a post-it, little green post-it note right there on the mirror.
Mm-hmm. So
it doesn't say Hail Mary. I just know that. And
well, and prayer doesn't have to be so formal all the time, too. Sometimes, I mean, I've always gotten in the habit of just kind of like talking to God throughout my day, right? So, I'm going into this meeting and I'm a little bit nervous of it. Lord, you know, send your Holy Spirit upon me so that, you know, this meeting goes smoothly. If you are blessed enough to work with other Catholics, you can start meetings with a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But even
or even if you, even if you even if you don't, I mean,
yeah, you could do it yourself. Yeah,
we've heard, you know, a friend of ours has his own business, and he made a decision a long time ago. Says, I'm just going to start meetings with a prayer. And I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not trying to be in people's face, but I'm not going to be
look
shy
up,
about it.
Meetings for prayer that are very nice and sincere, and it doesn't, you know, you could have different people of different religions, and the prayer kind of covers everything, so you don't have to worry about, you know, kind of offending.
Mm-hmm. Not that it doesn't have to cross lines,
it doesn't have to be super. But I also like, you know, you're driving down the street and you pray that you get to your place on time or in one piece, or I mean, I'm kind of always running a prayer all day long in my head for our children, and that kind of stuff. You can do really simple, just talking to God as if, you know, we would talk to each other.
Well, that's honestly, I don't know if I've ever said it to you, but that's something I really admire in your prayer life and about you. And I've mentioned it. I talk about you behind your back.
As long as it's all good.
But in a good way. I've said that at That Man Is You, and I've said it with my spiritual director. I mean, that's that kind of ongoing throughout the day dialogue is, you know, reflects an awareness of God's presence, you know, acting with you, in cooperation with you, and helping and guiding you and throughout the day. And I I get to the end of the day and I can't, I mean, unless it was a slow day and I was able to actually, okay, it's 3:00, I'll do this. It's, most of my days end with, what did I do today?
Probably did a lot, but I think you were.
But it's all busy stuff. It's not that intimate connection with the Lord.
Yeah, I need a lot more help than you do to get through my day. But I think when you were taught, when you converted, you were taught a very formal, like the priest who taught you was a very, very formal, and you learned a lot of formal prayers. And I kind of learned that growing up as a Catholic, but I, you know, my mom always taught me, you know, pray for yourself and talk to God like he's your best friend, and you can have con-. So I think since I was brought up with, you know, in my aunts and uncles, we would.
Yeah. It's absolutely part of your family.
Yeah. Yeah. There's we just spontaneously pray even before or after grace. Like so I think I just have been around a lot of spontaneous prayer. So it's a little bit more natural for me. But so one of our favorite prayers, since this is the month of October, is the Rosary.
Yeah.
October 7th is the Feast of Our Rosary, Feast of Our Lady of Rosary. And the Rosary, I mean, I love the Rosary. I grew up with the Rosary. So we used to say family Rosary growing up, and whoever was in the house at the time, if my older siblings had friends over, whether they were Catholic or not Catholic, come on in, you're joining the Rosary. And the funny part was when the Catholic kids would be, you know, like kind of sputtering over the Our Father Hail Mary, which it was kind of nice. So I honestly think I've been praying the Rosary, family Rosary, since I was in diapers. I don't ever remember a time of not, you know, saying that. So I have a very, I have a love for the Rosary. I mean, I know other people say they can, it's hard for them. They struggle, they get lost, or they just feel overwhelmed by it. But there's a lot of great resources out there that I think we can maybe share with people now about the Rosary. So The Ascension Press has a podcast, Rosary in the Year, with Father Mark Mary. And he does...
Yeah, Mark Mary Ames.
He does a wonderful
job. So they're the
job.
Same people who produced Bible in a Year that a lot of right. people are familiar with Father Mike Schmitz. Mm-hmm. And then it was... that's really popular. Then there was the Catechism in a Year, which I'm not sure... That's a harder...
Yeah.
That's a little difficult to get through. That's a little more difficult. And I don't know if there's been a third. This is, I think, their third
Mark
thing.
Murray. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it because he starts off, I was like, rosary in a year? How are you going to do that? But he
starts off. What am I going to say? The rosary every day for 360? I mean, what?
But he starts off really simple. And he simply says, like, this is the history of the rosary. And this is the first prayer we say in the rosary, and this is what this prayer means. And then this is why we say it, and like the history of the prayer. This is the Our Father. This is the history of the Our Father. And then it goes, breaks down each, you know, section of the Our Father, what it means, how it relates, why we should pray it. And then it gets into the Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. He gets in how it relates to Scripture.
Right.
Same thing with the Glory Be. How, you know, there's three, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He talks about the different mysteries of the rosary. And then he talks about them in history. He talks about them in art. He allows time for us to meditate on the words. So for people who don't like to pray the rosary, I think the Rosary in a Year podcast would be a great resource for them to kind of learn mm-hmm. how to pray the rosary. And I think it's because it's not, some people just don't have the, I just can't sit down and rotely.
Yeah, it does require, from my experience with it, I'm doing the Bible in a Year again. This is like my fourth year. I've just been listening to it. I just listen to it every day. I can multitask while I'm doing it. I don't feel like I'm being disrespectful. I'm just, I'm absorbing it. At least, especially the first time through he's teaching you how to meditate on the mysteries. Mm-hmm. And he eventually gets to that. Or on the words of the prayers. Or then, maybe he'll teach you, or he'll talk about how to pray for intentions.
Yes.
Or pray with the Blessed Mother, or pray with the Lord. Those are hard things to do while you're doing something else. So the only caveat I would say is you kind of need to dedicate. And it starts off, it's only a 10-minute.
Yeah. It might be hard to do while you're running.
Yeah.
You know, or driving a car.
Driving, right.
Towards the end, when he's going through the art, maybe you could be like, because you can be imagining it. But in the beginning, he does stop for some meditation. And then you say, one Our Father, one Hail Mary, one Glory Be. And then he kind of builds that into you're saying, five Hail Mary, and then 10, a decade, and then on and on and on. So if you, people who just feel like it's not for me, I think that is a, I think that's a great way to, I feel like it brought me closer to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Blessed Mother, and all their relationships, and Saint Joseph. Like, it kind of, it really helps you build that relationship and be more mindful, because it can be rote and you can, get distracted. So I feel like it's a good resource for the Ascension Press, if there's any listeners out there who are like, who really can't quite get into the rosary. It's nice.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's he also introduces it as really, this is a school of prayer. So it's useful, not just for the rosary. The things that he covers, are useful for other types of prayer as well. Mm-hmm. Being able to find something, material to meditate on and draw you closer.
Right. And it's so scriptural based too.
Yeah.
It really helps you to bring all that into it as well. So he does a really nice job with it. I did not know what to expect when I heard Rosary in the Year, and I was quite surprised and pleased.
I think we expected how everyone else reacts, which is right. So you're just gonna say the Rosary. Now at this point, this is October 2nd.
Yeah,
it has gotten to the point where he just says the Our Father, and he says four decades.
Right. So now we really are praying the Rosary.
He is just praying the Rosary.
Right. Yeah. But
But now I can do it in the car, and I can pray along with him, you know, just kind of listen or.
But it's nice because he tells personal stories along the way. He'll be like, oh, when I was in high school, or my first year of priesthood, or, you know, when I was novice. So, and you remember those stories sometimes when you're praying that mystery. You're like, oh, I remember when he told this story about whatever it was related to this mystery. So, or if he was praying for someone or something that happened to his life, maybe he told a story, it triggered something in your mind. So it kind of brings a little bit more meaning behind the prayers, which, so it's not just like this, you know, rote prayer that some people, you know, Gus Lloyd, who has a Catholic radio show, wrote, you know, has these little 1 minute in the church, a Catholic apologetics, it has a little thing on honoring Mary in here and the rosary. And he admits that he wasn't really a big rosary guy. It was really difficult for him. So I think there are people out there who, you know, now that
did he say why he wasn't a big, did he just find it an unsatisfying prayer, or was he bothered because he was so distracted, or
I think it was
he
just
couldn't develop the habit of
And I think it was
time consuming.
He just saw it as like saying 10 Hail Marys, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have like what, how Father Mark Mary breaks it down for you. I think he didn't have that background. So I think if there are people out there who have that, oh, I just can't get through this, it's, I fall asleep, or, you know, I think listening to our rosary in a year really helps them. But for me, I think it would be very helpful for people I know who've said that, and makes it more beautiful. And I think it does bring you closer to the Holy Family and how the, you know, Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit and Father, Son, how everything kind of works together. It's so beautiful. So anyway, what Father Mark Mary says, I wrote this little, there's a Rosary in the Year prayer guide. And part of it says, hey, Father Mark Mary says, one of the greatest gifts that Jesus has given us, and the gift he gave in the final moments of his life, the gift of Mary, his mother, to be our mother as well. How the world and the church, that is, each of us, could use a mother in a particular way in these days. She is a mother who comforts us, who encourages us, who speaks words of peace and hope, but also a mother who is strong, who fights for us, who reminds us of truth, and who helps us to grow in maturity. I really believe one of the most concrete ways we can experience the motherhood of Mary in our daily lives is through a holy and prayerful recitation of the Rosary. I love to think of the Rosary as going back to Nazareth, sitting with Mary, and with loving attention, listening to her recount the truths and the mysteries of the life of Christ. We get to ponder the deep love, the deep affection that Mary has for her Son. She points us back to Jesus. She unpacks the mysteries. She reminds us to stand firm in difficulties. To pray the Rosary is to allow Mary to mother us, and it is to make ourselves the recipients of these truths that she has pondered in her heart. So it's a really beautiful, it's kind of how he talks about the Rosary. And then he also talks about the Rosary as a weapon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, actually, did we mention that last time? I mean, we talked about last time about the power of the Hail Mary.
Right.
I don't know where it was we heard. It probably was from Kathleen or Father Blunt or somebody who kind of drew this image like, you know, when you say a Hail Mary, it's like you're beating on the devil's head, you know, with a sledgehammer. I mean, it's that painful for him.
Yeah. And then someone else said, who I can't remember who, if you think of all the links of the rosaries that people have said through the decades over the world, that's going to be the chain that's going to take the dragon down. That's it's like, that's kind of how we're going to take that dragon and, like, you know, drag him down, is through the power of the of all of our rosaries to bring peace into the world. What were you saying? If every person's...
Well, that was from Fulton Sheen. I think I did mention that last time. He said, if people really understood the power of the rosary, the battle with evil would be won by now. We would have won it already by now. In other words, if people understood it, people would be praying it right now.
Constantly, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we got into this the last time. I was thinking about that in the context of really the school shooting in Minneapolis a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, awful, awful tragedy. And everyone, you know, a lot of people were expressing their concern, their condolences, and saying how our thoughts and prayers go out, you know, to all the families and the victims. And I think it was the mayor of Minneapolis said, "Well, you stop talking about thoughts and prayers. Your prayers aren't, you know, doing anything."
Mm.
The more I thought about it, I mean, in that particular case, given how just so clearly, you know, unmistakably evil the event was. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about the person, but I heard that they were obsessed with kind of destroying innocent. You know,
right,
they had this.
Right.
That is so clearly, you know, comes from only one place.
Mm-hmm.
If that's that being the case, prayers are probably, in my mind, the most important thing, the most valuable,
right,
helpful thing you can do.
Right.
Because if people, and I thought at that point, if everybody in America on one day prayed a decade of the rosary,
mm-hmm,
the world would be a different place the next morning.
Yeah. And I have heard of some places that are having, you know, they had Eucharistic processions. They're having rosary processions now. So people are kind of like the way we gathered in the streets and, mm-hmm, and showed. I've been reading about different places in the United States of America where they're starting to have, like, I don't know if they're calling rosary marches or
a rosary walk.
Rosary walk, yeah. So I think that's starting to catch on, you know, kind of like this Eucharistic processions, like having a rosary procession. So that would be, you know, I would love for that to take off and,
yeah,
and really spark things. So, the rosary is a really powerful prayer, and the month of October is dedicated to the Blessed Mother and the rosary. And we said before, the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary is October 7th. And the rosary, maybe we could break it down if people aren't familiar with the rosary, is broken down into decades, which stands for 10. We say an Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be is the, you know, basic.
The basic prayer, yeah.
And then it's broken down each day, or you could say them all at once, into mysteries. So the first is the joyful mystery. And that really represents the time in the Holy Family's life where there was some rejoicing, right? Like the luminous mystery.
So, and each group of mysteries is 5 mysteries. I mean, I imagine.
Right.
Every,
right. So, sorry, I should have mentioned.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Joyful would be the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother, the Visitation, Blessed Mother to her cousin Elizabeth, the Nativity of the Lord, the Presentation of the Lord in the Temple, and the Finding of the Lord in the Temple. So,
right. We are going to go to break real quick, and then we can come back and finish. Talk about the other mysteries of the Rosary.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Okay, and we're back. My name is Jennifer Reed. This is my husband, Charlie Reed. We're standing in for Kathleen McCarthy on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And today we are talking about prayer, the Blessed Mother, and the Rosary. So before we went to break, we were just kind of, for any listeners who may not be as familiar with the Rosary, going through that there are four groups of mysteries,
five mysteries in each group.
Right. So we talked about the joyful before we got on. The next group we would talk about is the luminous mysteries, and they really represent Christ, how he was on earth, his earthly.
His public life. His public ministry, I guess. Yeah. Starting with the baptism in the Jordan, the wedding feast at Cana, which is his first public miracle, the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven and the call to conversion, the transfiguration of the Lord in front of the three apostles, and the institution of the Eucharist.
Right. Just one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Then we have, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that to me, that's the Carlo Acutis mystery.
Yeah, that's absolutely the Carlo Acutis mystery. Then we go through the sorrowful mysteries that... is obviously sorrowful and repentance.
It's his passion and death.
Right. And they are.
They are the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion.
You're so good at this.
This is, well, we used to quiz the kids in the car on the way to school every day, and, you know. 8 years of it, and they still had.
They know it.
They know it now.
The glorious mysteries is obviously represents glory and the resurrection.
Yeah, the glory of the Lord. So the resurrection, the ascension into heaven, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven, and the coronation of our Blessed Mother as Queen of Heaven.
So I listened to a podcast called "Abiding Together," and it's a really great podcast. Three women are on it. And they're in their 17th season, but in the first one of every season, they talk about, and throughout it, that what's going on in their lives in relation to what's going on in my life that's a joyful mystery, what's going on in my life that's a sorrowful or a luminous or glorious. So I think that's really neat to kind of like think of your life in that, you know, part of my life I could be in, you know, joyful. It's the beginning of the new season. Whatever it is, but at the same time, maybe there's some other area of my life where it's a little bit sorrowful, and then maybe there's somewhere. So you can kind of, when you think about what is going on in your life in the mysteries of the Rosary, it's kind of a really neat way to feel God's presence and the Blessed Mother as you go through life.
Yeah, and among other things, I think it connects you with our Lord and His Blessed Mother, and is a bit of a reminder that they experienced all these, you know. Right. Not specifically this, but they experienced joys and sorrows and certainly suffering, but also glory.
Right. Yeah. And it kind of helps keep them closer to you when you're going through these things. And like we talked about on Tuesday, which is today, is, you know, your guardian angels are always with you. They're never far away. And, you know, we hear about that in scripture and in their lives as well. They had angels.
Yes, some other resources.
Some other resources for the Rosary is, we talked about a little bit of Paradisus Day. Mark Hartfield is the...
Vice President of Paradisus Day.
Right, yeah. And he wrote this book, The Hinge of the Hail Mary. It's a beautiful book that kind of goes, it's The Art of Praying the Rosary, and it goes through and talks about how to pray the Rosary. But he talks a lot about intentions here. But he kind of talks about when you get to the word Jesus in the Rosary, remind yourself, it's kind of like the hinge of the mystery.
I think John Paul II called that the hinge.
So, oh, he did call that
the hinge. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, and then, you know, because you almost kind of like it's a turning point.
You go into like what mystery you're praying.
Yeah, well, he'll add something, some little phrase, you know, a 2 or 3 word phrase that just calls to mind what that mystery is.
Right.
So you're saying the third joyful mystery, the Nativity, mm-hmm. and, you know, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We say born in a stable. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, to fight that tendency to be distracted, yep. or for your mind to wander. It's mm-hmm.
That reminds you, what am I praying? And what should I be meditating on?
Still not 100% effective, but it's...
It works a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need all the help I can get.
You and me both. But it's a great book that if anyone's looking again to kind of dive a little bit more deeper into the rosary. It talks about your intentions with every Hail Mary or with every decade and really how to be much more intentional when you're praying the rosary, and again relates it back to scripture, and it's a beautiful guide and resource. They also have Paradisus Day has a, which Mark did as well, it's called The Mysteries of the Rosary, and it's on YouTube, and
so it's a series of videos.
So Mark is walking through Jerusalem,
yeah.
and he's walking through the different parts where maybe those mysteries happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of explaining, you know, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where Jesus would have been praying. And this is where, you know, he'll go through. I don't want to give too much of away.
Well, it inspires your meditation. It's a meditative aid.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you, you know, attach vision, you know, a visual reminder, or just have an image in your mind to associate with what you're praying.
Yeah.
It's good quality video too. I mean, it's well filmed.
Really well
filmed.
But
I think it's all shot on location in the Holy Land.
Yeah. So it makes it even that much more beautiful, because you can see the authenticity of the land, and it hasn't changed much over the years. So he really can bring you back and give you some of the history. So the people mm-hmm. who really kind of like history, and they like it to be linked to a real event, a real time, a real place, not just a prayer that we're, you know, kind
of. Or if you want to attach more, you know, get more scriptural mm-hmm. basis for, mm-hmm. you know, what you're praying, the mystery you're praying, or have some kind of, you know, what else is happening in the Bible that relates to this, or what does it call to mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some of those people who want more of the scripture in the rosary. So we would recommend that as well mm-hmm. if you're looking for another aid for praying the rosary. Hallow has an app.
Hallow. Oh, yeah, you get to pray with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, you can pray.
Other celebrities, I guess.
Right. So if you want to play with this celebrity, you have
Jonathan Rumi, I'm sure there's a...
Yep.
Jonathan Rumi version.
If you're a big fan of them, that might help you pray the rosary. I have a app, Laudate,
yeah.
And that I love because it not only has the rosary, but it also has some of the other...
hundreds of different chaplets.
Yeah,
and
so many chaplets. So if you're just in a holy hour and your mind is kind of blank, I can, you know... And if you want to listen to them in the car... I love it. And it gives you a physical rosary to tap each bead.
Yeah, you tap the image on the screen and
the prayer will come up. So if you're unfamiliar with the Seven Sorrows rosary or, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus chaplet, I should say, it will guide you through each one of those prayers. So that's another great app if people are wanting to pray more.
And that's an entirely free app.
Yes, that is entirely free. Hallow has a free version and a paid version. So depending on how much you want to use it, that's how much you can use it. You know, EWTN has an app. I think pretty much everyone has an app these days. But there's so many prayer resources out there. So if anyone feels kind of dry in their prayer life right now, or if they just want to have a pick-me-up or just go deeper, these are some great resources that you can use for increasing or picking yourself up for the rosary or the prayer life.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this is what we received today?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little less familiar with it. Did you want me to?
Yeah, want to read it?
Just read through. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is, again, I think this, I guess this is kind of like a testament, a little bit of the history of the rosary, mm-hmm. and a testament to the power mm-hmm. of it. Sure. So, and I guess we received this from Paradisus Day.
Yeah.
So they sent out a newsletter and they're just talking.
I was thrilled. I'm like, woohoo. Fits in perfectly with my talk.
The rosary was given by Our Lady to St. Dominic in 1208 while he was praying in the church of Notre Dame at Pouilly. I don't know where that is. Dominic had been struggling against the Albigensian heresy. Don't ask me what that was. I know the name. I just don't know what it was. Without making much progress. After receiving the rosary, Dominic distributed thousands and saw an immediate impact as many returned to the faith. It kind of makes me think about, again, Our Blessed Mother is always involved, Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. You know, she mm-hmm. appeared to St. Juan Diego and just within only a few short years. I mean, they'd been there for 20 years, you know, evangelizing and the Spaniards, but within a couple of years, millions of converts. Anyway.
God bless the mother strong.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes when she's called on. The feast day of October 7th commemorates the Christian victory at the Battle of Lepanto occurring on October 7th, 1571. Fearing an invasion of Islam, Pope St. Pius V asked all of Catholic Europe to recite the rosary. Then on October 7th, a significantly outnumbered Christian alliance of warships met and defeated the advancing Turks of the Ottoman Empire. Europe was saved for the church, and the Ottoman Empire went into decline. And I think that's the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. So if there's a litany of Our Lady at, mm-hmm. that some people say at the end of the rosary, mm-hmm. When you say Our Lady of Victory, pray for it. Our Lady... Yeah, Victory. She's in there. And I think it's because of that. I think they instituted a feast at that point because it was so miraculous.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like you said, if everyone prayed a rosary every day, the peace would be
with us. There you go. That's an example of it. Closer to our own time, Mary appeared as Our Lady of the Rosary to three peasant children in Fatima, Portugal. Mm-hmm. From May 13th to October 13th, 1917, she asked for the rosary to be recited every day. And this is one of the things I bring up with guys at my table and, or, you know, at That Man Is You, or when I talk with men who, and I hear this all the time. Yeah, I tried to pray the rosary. I'm just not very good at it, right? And I always, you know, again, I had the question, well, what do you mean by I'm not good at it? Do you like, you don't remember the Hail Mary? Or you're just not good, or your mind wanders, which mm-hmm. a lot of people experience. There was a saying I learned early on when in my conversion from G.K. Chesterton, who said, it was like one of the things that sticks in my head most of all, maybe because I'm making excuses for myself, but he said, a thing worth doing is worth doing badly.
Mm.
Right? This is if it, like receiving the sacraments, even if you're like receiving the sacraments is important and it helps you. You ideally, you're totally engaged. You're totally there. Mm-hmm. Your mind is properly disposed. But even if not,
it's still worth receiving. Don't skip them.
Yeah. Right. So I say to guys, listen, Our Blessed Mother said to do it. You think she said that thinking everybody was going to really be 100% locked in all the time when they do it? She knows who we are. Mm-hmm. She knows our failings.
She also knows how she can come to us, and she knows her power, and she knows. Yeah. I think if you get in the habit of doing it, you might not start off strong, but as
you grow, yeah,
you get better and better and better.
But even so, she didn't say, pray the rosary and make darn sure you're paying full attention, and if you're not, then just quit.
Right.
And give up and go do something else. She said, pray the rosary.
Every day.
Every day. Pray it.
Not just pray it.
Pray, pray, pray.
Yeah.
So, you know. She knows. So I tell the guys, don't make it. Just do it.
Yeah. Don't make an excuse about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's my soapbox.
So that's why all of our resources we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything you can that helps you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, listen, your mom tells you to do the dishes. I'm talking to adults now. I mean, you tell the kids they don't. But your mom tells you to do the dishes. You do the dishes.
Right. Some kids do it well. Some kids don't do them well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she didn't say. Well, that's a different thing. So continuing. More amazingly, the rosary is being credited with the defeat of Boko Haram, which we've learned about in the last decade or so, an Islamic terrorist rebellious group in Africa. At least by Bishop Demi of Nigeria, Bishop Boko Haram was devastating Nigeria and its villages. Over 2.6 million were displaced. Then in late 2014, the bishop was saying his rosary before the Blessed Sacrament. Suddenly Christ appeared. He offered the bishop a sword. As the bishop took the sword, it turned into a rosary. Christ then stated as bishop understood that Christ was telling him that the rosary was the weapon to defeat Boko Haram. He organized rosary prayer groups throughout his diocese. Immediately the tide of war began to shift, and now Boko Haram is gone. So we have our own battles to fight. In encouraging a renewal of devotion to the rosary, Pope St. John Paul II stated that it was for the goal of world peace and for the family that was under attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the rosary just is a really powerful prayer. And I know we try to do not as successfully because now our kids are older and they moved out of the house. We're trying to do more family rosary just to help. You know, the family prays together, stays together, because it's a tough world out there for them.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We pray it as a married couple. I think the power of, first of all, the power of prayer when people are come together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Particularly when a married couple prays, it's even that much more powerful. And when a family
praise,
you know, when you can bring kids,
you're
in.
Really knocking the devil over the head, all of you at once.
Yeah, yeah,
he's getting five or six bops at a time.
Yeah, you're really crushing him with your heel.
Right.
But maybe this is an opportunity. I can turn back to kind of something else that I heard today, and this is just about prayer in general, and really the need for it in our lives. And we've been talking a lot about the power of it, and the impact that it has. Or can have in our world, in our communities, in the battle with the enemy. But again, at That Man Is You this morning, I heard a story about Mother Teresa, and it was a seminarian was in Rome, and he was very, of course, as so many people were, he was totally inspired by Mother Teresa, and he heard that she was going to be in the city visiting, so he called up. He wanted to meet with her. He wanted, just kind of have a conversation with her. And he called up whatever it was that where she was staying, a chancery of some kind where she was staying. Said, "Hey, I'd like to have a few minutes with her." And they said, no, sorry. She's way too busy. We can't. She's got no time. Sorry, mm-hmm. She'd like to, but she can't right now. So he was undeterred. He walked over to wherever it was, knocked on the door. They answered. He's sitting there saying, "Well, listen, I just really want to meet with her. And of course, as they're, I guess they wouldn't have slammed the door in his face, but he stuck his arm out and his foot out as the door is shutting in his face. He said, "Listen, she's such an inspiration to me. I just want to learn how she does, what her secret is, how does she do all this? Because I want to emulate that, in my ordained life." And they said, "Wait here." So eventually she comes to the door. She says, "Come on and let's talk for a few minutes." And he said, "Well, yeah, I'm so inspired by you. What is your secret? How do you give so much? How do you do all this?" And she said, "Well, tell me about your prayer life." And he started saying, "Well, of course, I do the daily office every day, and I go to daily mass, and I recite the rosary." And she's like, "Yeah, okay." He finishes, and she's like, "Yeah, nah, it's not enough. It's not enough." And he's like, "Well, why are we talking about prayer? I'm talking about all your service work, all the charity, all the love that you give to people." And she said, "If you need more prayer life to do what I do. You can't do what I do unless you're constantly, being fed with the Lord's love. And that's your prayer life." So, it just kind of called to mind. I mean, it's something else that we heard in the homily this morning. The spiritual order of creation is just as real as the material order of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we talk about with respect to angels, but all the things that we do for ourselves in the material life, feed, you know, eating, drinking, sleeping, mm-hmm. prayer does that in our
spiritual
in
life.
The spiritual order of creation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to be kind of more aware, which was this morning about the, you know, the Feast of the Angels, that they're with us all the time, and they're right. always around us, and there is an order to them.
Yeah, they're our prayer partners.
Yeah. We have a caller on line one. We have Frank, so we're going to grab that call right now. Frank?
Hello, Jennifer. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Hello. Jennifer,
yes.
A couple of things. You probably won't believe this unless it's only in Philadelphia. I went to Catholic grade school and high school. My sister, the same thing. She was 2 years older. We were never taught the mysteries of the Rosary, period.
Really?
I never even heard about them until a couple of years ago. A priest later on told my mother it was after Vatican II they stopped teaching them. Did you ever hear that before?
I did not hear that, but like I was saying earlier, we always prayed family rosaries, so I think I was in diapers when I started participating in a family rosary. Not that I know what I was doing, but it's just been in, like, I had the opposite experience. It's kind of been, like, ingrained as part of my my life. So that's, so do you pray the rosary now?
Every day.
Good.
I hesitate. It's not a rosary. I do... About the whole day I do them.
Oh, excellent.
There you go.
Even better.
There you go. You're making up for all the people who don't. But I think I have heard similar things that after Vatican II, a lot of the Catholic school education changed. Mm. But I think Rosary is making a comeback.
I know. It's, yeah.
So I said, Catholic New, I said, what's this thing I heard? The Sorrowful Mysteries? What's that? What's this tweet? What's that about? I had no idea what it was. But Jen, also, on Tuesday, you're working with Mary.
Yeah.
I didn't know until after 5 o'clock, our last name was DiCarlo. Mary, if you're listening, I knew Dr. DiCarlo's mother. Thanks. You have a great son. I heard him on the 11th of September.
Oh,
he's a great guy.
Yes, he's fabulous. He's actually my godson, so I'm going to go
kudos.
We'll take credit for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlie, guess what?
What's that, Frank?
If you give me a hacksaw, a block away is a street named after you, Charles Street. I can give you, I can cut it down for you. I don't want to get caught and go to prison for stealing a street.
Yeah, we'll forget that we had this conversation.
Right. We can take a picture of it. Right.
Anyway, I was good to hear the book. I heard you both last week, and I'm glad you were doing the mysteries because, like I said, until a couple of years ago, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you heard from the Blessed Mother.
It was on one of the radio stations. At 8 o'clock at night, they did the rosaries every night at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I kept hearing, tonight's the Sorrowful Mystery. Today's the Luminous Mysteries. What's the stuff they talk? I had no idea what they were talking about. No idea.
Right.
Don't you think it's changed your life in a lot of, it's impacted you to be able to learn about all this and to have this richness of meditation into your prayer life?
Well, Charlie, guess what? When you do it, they didn't say we're praying the joyful day. When you two were talking about it at 4 o'clock, I was downstairs listening to Alexa. I told Mom, I want to hear this. She never talks to me. She wouldn't be quiet. I miss most of this. I'm like, Mom, please, I want to hear this. Mom, please. So I came upstairs in the bedroom. By that time, you just wrapped it up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Maybe we can find a way to get it
played back. This recorded version,
play
it back for you.
Yeah.
Do you still do another radio station together? Because you used to work together really well. It's nice hearing you talk.
Oh. No, I think this is the only one that we've done. But,
yeah.
You know, who knows what God has in store for us, right?
Oh, well, I don't even want to think about that.
Oh, yes, you do, sweetie. Well, you never know. You never know where God's going to call us
next.
Like
I said, if Mary DeCart listening, you have an awesome son. I already said that. I'm sorry. I'll repeat myself. Sorry about that.
No. He is awesome. Dr. Zach, we do love him. He's so full of knowledge, and he's full of love, too. That's why he's so
good. Did you hear him on the radio?
I did hear him that day. But he's genuine. He's sincere. He does love what he does. He loves what he does, but he does what he does with love. So if that makes sense.
He quoted some. I forget who he quoted. He said, "We do what you love, the money will follow," or something like that. Like,
yes.
You love what you do or something.
Yep. Because he's getting married in January. So we've been keeping him in our prayers, he and his fiancée, Rachel. Because they're, you know.
I'm Rachel DiCarlo, or soon to be Rachel DiCarlo.
Yeah.
So it's a fun new beginning for them in their lives. So it's exciting. It's really exciting for
Jennifer.
Everyone.
I got a sad story about the name Rachel. You ready?
Yep.
in second grade, had the biggest crush. Her name is Rachel Reck, okay? But next year, the parents moved and never saw her again.
That's a shame. Rachel Reck wrecked your heart.
Well, she tells a story about some guy named Frank, too.
Right.
So.
She walked away. She never got to see him again.
Hopefully it's Sinatra. He was pretty good. But Jennifer, listen to this. It was Rachel Reck, Valentine's Day. And Mom says, how many girls in your class? I don't know. Gave her syllabus. There were 17 girls. But I love Rachel Reck.
Oh.
I gave one card to this girl, one to Rachel Reck. One card to this girl, one to Rachel Reck. One card. I ended up giving her 12 cards.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so fun.
I guess that means she gave me.
One, none.
Zero.
Zero, right.
I think I got three. Out of 17 girls, I got three.
That's not bad. Not bad. You know, it's better than none. So, and,
I know.
And then so now you can keep Rachel Reck in your rosary intentions every day.
Every girl I liked, the parents moved during that summer because there was Dawn Curia, that up in fourth grade, Rachel Reck.
Don't take it personal.
Right, right.
But have a great one, Jennifer and Jolly, and always nice hearing you.
Yes, awesome. You too. Thanks for calling in, Frank.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. That was fun.
Yeah, and you know what he was saying about our nephew Zach, and you're saying about do what you do with love,
right?
I think it kind of just segues us into kind of wrapping this up. When we were talking about Mother Teresa, she needed mm-hmm. that prayer life to be able to do all the things she do, to have the love, because otherwise you're just going to run dry,
right? And
even service is a prayer, but. You know, especially at her level, you would just exhaust yourself and you know.
Right. And you can't give what you don't have.
That's right. And right. That's so, that's what is it that they say at Paradise's Day? Whatever the Lord wants to give through you, he first gives to you.
Right.
So you want to try to emulate Mother Teresa in your life. You can't give to all the people what they need or what you're trying to give to them
if you can't receive it first from our Lord.
That's right. You have to fill up your tank before you.
Right, but then to fill up your tank, you have to have an open heart. You have to be able to surrender. Yeah. You have to open your heart. You have to, you know, what is your will for me, Lord? So you know, it all kind of ties together with the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Rosary.
Yeah. And maybe in one of the last thoughts is, you know, the talk we had this morning, the guy was talking about this story about Mother Teresa, and he kind of went on to talk about the parable of the prodigal son. And, of course, we know about, you know, the prodigal son who was the hedonist and went out and blew all the money and partying, mm-hmm. but his brother, who stayed faithful, so to speak, with his father, doesn't really show a whole lot more love himself. He characterized it as this is just a sense of duty and obligation, but it's not. He's not doing what he needs to do for his father with love.
With love, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So without that prayer life, without that love, it's, everything you do is just kind of obligation.
Empty. Yeah. 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 All right. Well, thank you, audience, for being with us today. It was absolutely lovely, and we hope to hear from everyone soon.
And prayers for Kathleen and prayers for a safe return.
Yeah, for a safe return. And
everybody wants her back next week.
Yes, they're tired of looking at us. The real deal. And don't forget her golf outing.
Right.
October 13th is a golf outing. So get online if you can make a donation or bring by a gift. So that will be the next exciting thing in our world.
Are sign-ups all closed?
All right, goodbye.